Hello, and welcome to What Else Do You Do? I'm your host, Masao. I'm an indie producer in Montreal, working for Studio Cut to Bits. And today, our guest is Leslie Sullivan. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Leslie. I am currently a design producer at Boundless Entertainment, and I've been working in games for 10 years as a narrative designer and producer. I switch off every once in a while.
How does that work? That seems like two pretty different fields.
Well, I started off in player support when I was still in college, just to get my foot in the door, and eventually doing like a lot of project management. Then decided, well, you know what? I love RPGs. Like, RPGs are my favorite type of game. I love story and character development, everything like that. And there was an opportunity for me to kind of do that kind of role in our narrative department. And so I moved over there, and that was basically the beginning of that journey, like the marriage of project management, production, you know, like being a scrum master, and then also working with like creatives. And while I was there, like I started doing more writing work and taking on like creative projects. And for a period of time, I was dedicated to only doing that. And then eventually I went back to project management and production. And then I did narrative design again at a different place. Went back and did like a combo, or like I focused on production for narrative design and like world building and that kind of thing. And then that's how I am now a design producer. And yeah, it's been a weird journey, but it's basically what I always wanted to do. Like I love doing the creative part of things. I love writing. I love working on characters and story, but also like making sure that that's successful is so tricky. And it's, you can't just like hammer on it with traditional, I think, production methodologies. Mm-hmm. You have to understand like who these people are, how they work, like what works for them, what clicks. And I try to use my personal experience of being that like individual contributor of a writer, and knowing I have like creative deliverables, using that experience and trying to be a better producer for that kind of person.
That's very cool. So I run a Discord for indie producers, but mm-hmm. I used to be in AAA, and that kind of profile is pretty unusual, like that kind of path, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think like it's hard, I think, from going, well, you see a lot of people going from like individual contributor, either like design or engineering, into production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And oftentimes not the other way, which is great because like producers are always in need, and there's like they can be applied to a lot of different teams. But I think it's really hard to carve out that kind of a path. Yeah, I just kind of got, like, I hesitate to say lucky, but I think I did get a little lucky in as to how my path turned out, because like I just like happened to be the right place at the right time for that one opportunity to come up. Yeah. And then I spent my time there, and then a new one came up and I pursued that, and it was just like I had to be both patient and then also like aggressively go after the next right step to keep on doing that kind of work, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. But this podcast is called What Else Do You Do? So what else do you do?
Well, recently I have been making TikToks, a lot of TikToks. They still relate to game development, unfortunately. But it is not actual work, so.
I love your TikToks, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan. And so are the rest of the members of our Discord. We laugh/cry watching your TikToks. How did you get into it?
Well, I've always loved TikTok as a platform. I'm just delighted by it. I think it's very interesting. I never really explored Vine when it was a thing. Gosh, 9 years ago or whenever it was big. And so I just like it as a platform. It's super easy to make content. It seems pretty easy to be able to like share things and get people to see your videos. Maybe not in like mass quantities, but like you're going to be more successful there than on YouTube. I think the barrier to entry on YouTube or something like that is so much higher because of like, you know, the quality that you have to bring.
For sure,
to,
yeah.
You know, like, yeah, to a platform
you can just
like
make
that.
You can just make a video with a phone on TikTok.
You can just do whatever you
can't
want.
Can't exactly do that on on YouTube. I mean,
yeah.
And you know, it's also not going to be like a a minute video, right, on YouTube. Exactly. So there's like, you have to like plan, and
yeah,
there's definitely more, I think, initial investment to kind of make your first video on YouTube versus TikTok, for sure.
The production value and like the planning and everything like that is hard. And I think it feels like it's hard for people to like naturally find or like organically find creators that way, or at least on YouTube. But yeah, TikTok, you can just make an 8-second video of absolute nonsense and people will appreciate it. and that's, it's beautiful. But no,
I like TikTok a lot as well. I make, so I'm nowhere near as successful as you are, but I make videos opening bottles with random household objects.
Yes, I have seen them and I appreciate them.
Yeah, no, it's really, it's fun. Like, you know, the different tools that TikTok makes available, and the kind of natural discoverability and the social aspect of TikTok is very interesting. The fact that, like, I think video doesn't naturally kind of, you know, lend itself to being social, but the fact that they have these trends and everything is kind of driven by these music or audios, I think gives a really interesting layer of social interaction to the whole thing.
Yeah, I think so. You'll see a lot of people comment about like, the sound itself, or like how well executed that sound might be, comparing it to other people's videos. It's a really interesting way to, you know, if you like a particular trend or you like that audio, like I often find myself going down the rabbit hole of like, I want to see how someone else did this trend. And then I just go and I scroll through like 50 people, you know, 50 different people's videos, and some who don't have a following. And it's just like, it's cool that I can see random people that way who have just put themselves out there. It's neat.
For sure. So which one of your TikToks are your favorite to make? Like, do you have like certain characters that you like doing more, or do you like certain formats more? Like,
gosh, I do really like using whatever like the hot trend is on TikTok, purely because I usually make these on my lunch breaks, and so I need to do something that is like low cost but is somewhat powerful. Like, it gets the point across really quickly. And so if I spend too much time trying to think of like a script and the characters and everything, like, I start sweating when it's like 12:45 and I'm like, oh shit, I gotta get back soon. Like, I haven't shot anything and it's gonna take me another hour. Like, this day's a wash. Like, I feel very unproductive. So I'm trying to get a little more ahead of the curve where like I will film something like on weekends and then like just save it for later so I can like get ahead of my content schedule.
Do you have a content schedule? Like, do you like keep to a specific schedule, or?
I used to. So when I first started doing this, like 4 months ago or something, I was like pretty good about doing like one every 3 days. And now I'm not. I've kind of fallen off the wagon in the past couple of weeks just because I've been busy. I'm trying to get back on. I'm trying to get ahead of it again. And I'm also trying to like figure out what lands best, like what resonates most with audiences in terms of like timing and everything. And I don't know if it matters. Like, I was trying to be good about like, okay, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because that's when people are checking Twitter. That's when people who are supposed to be at work are like loading up TweetDeck and are just like, whatever, like, fuck this, I'm gonna go look at Twitter instead. And then I have like a work related TikTok for people to view. And now I don't know. I'm unsure, because every once in a while I'll post them on the weekends. It also performs well. I'm just like, all right, well, I guess if it's good, then it will reach people. And so I'm trying not to like get like
too,
I don't want
to.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be upset with myself if I miss a date because it's not my job, right?
Like, oh, for sure. Yeah,
I'm doing this for free. But I'm trying to at least be a little consistent, because like, now that there is a little bit of an audience,
I heard that there's like an algorithm, like the algorithm likes you more when you're consistent.
From, I think so.
What people say on TikTok, although like, I feel like there's this like, I don't know, whenever people talk about the algorithm, it sounds like superstition almost.
Yeah, when I was first starting, I would go on to like the TikTok subreddit or something to figure it out, because like I was like, what is it? Like, what's going on? And every single day there's a different theory, and I was like, all right, it's all bullshit.
It's fine. Yeah, I'm sure like they change stuff all the time to the point that like anything that's observable is not going to be like necessarily consistent for extended period of time.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like, what I'm finding in my own content is that the things that are not specific to game development resonate so much more, or reach like a much bigger audience on the actual like TikTok app than it does on Twitter. And so, like, if I make it pretty, like, generic, or I just don't designate that this is about game development, but it's more of a video about work and, like, oh, isn't that ridiculous? just anybody from any industry whatsoever, like, flocks to it. And so that's the only thing, like, I keep in mind. It's like, sometimes I will want to do very, like, specific, you know, game development, whatever. I just, like, I have to go in knowing that it's going to get, like, 100 likes instead of, you know, anything more than that, because people will be like, what is this? And then they just move on past it.
Yeah, they can't relate because they don't work in the video games industry.
Yeah, and they're all young. They're so,
that's true.
Oh my gosh, they're so young.
A lot of them don't even have jobs. It's crazy, yeah. Whenever you see, like, trends saying, like, oh, you know, people who are, like, over 25, like, old people who are over 25, I'm like, Jesus Christ, 25 is old?
My favorite comment I've ever received, and it wasn't even from one of my game dev videos. It was, like, from when I first started doing it, it was about, like, outfit of the day stuff. Like, I love fashion TikTok. But someone left a comment and they were like, I can't tell if you're 17 or 40. And I was just like, holy shit. Oh, this is the best. I'm going to store this in my brain forever. Yeah.
17 or 40. Yeah.
And it was from a 14-year-old girl. I was just like, wow. Incredible. Yeah.
But then again, I think when I think back, I can't even remember what it was like to be 14, but yeah.
Yeah.
30 was, like, crazy old at the time, so.
Everybody I knew, if they were 30 and I was, I guess, like, a preteen or a 14-year-old, like, they definitely had their shit together. And then now that I'm in that age cohort, I'm just like, wow, I was so wrong. I don't... Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They had the appearance of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so weird. You know, I'm 40, and it's even within the games industry, it's generally kind of a young person's industry. So it's weird. You know, I will do, like, I'd be in a networking thing and I'd be, like, the oldest person in the room. Like, I'm not even that old, I don't think. Like, you know. And I say, like, yeah, I've been in the industry for 15 years. And they'll, like, look at me and, like, 15 years ago, I was a child. You
know? It's obviously, this is the way linear time works. But I was going to, like, say that, like, I have noticed things changing over the past decade. And it's like, yes, because we've all aged in the past decade. But, like, more and more, I am meeting, it's not just a group of, like, 23-year-olds anymore. For context, like, when I worked at Riot for 6 years, and, like, the vast majority of my time there, like, most people there were very young. And then going on from that to a, like, more mature studio was eye-opening. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is where the, like, the veterans are. All right. Not all just, like, people fresh out of school and, like, you know, not, I don't want to say, like, inexperienced, but just, like, yeah, just young, very young industry. I got, like, within a very short span of time, I saw both sides going from Riot to the next studio.
Yeah, my first job, so I worked at Ubisoft for a long time. Mm-hmm. And when I started in 2006, Ubisoft Montreal had already been around for 15 years.
Yeah.
So, like, everybody was way older than me, or at least in management. And all those people are still in the industry. So it's like I know 50-year-olds that are in the, like, I know a bunch of 50-year-olds that are in the games industry now. Like, and it's, you know, that it's normal. They're not like, they haven't, like, put them in, like, the, you know, some kind of old person closet or anything like that. Like, they,
back
they
in the
still,
corner.
Yeah, no, they're still, like, you know, making games and more or less doing what they were doing, like, 10 years ago or whatever. It is kind of odd how everybody kind of assumes all video game developers are 23, but, like,
yeah, I've talked to a couple of coworkers about this, where there's, like, a bit of a, I think, like, a, I'm sorry, we're talking about work. We can move on after.
Oh,
this.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
But there's, like, there seems to be a bit of a worry of, like, oh, what do we, like, we're, like, the ceiling seems so low in terms of, like, seniority, and what do we do when we're all 50 or whatever. And it's just kind of like, I don't know, every single industry is, if you're a senior engineer, then you're just going to be a senior engineer for as long as you want.
It's true. You just have more experience. Like, yeah. It's weird talking. Well, funny thing is, like, there's like kind of a weird like loop back effect sometimes. Like, I was talking to, like, because the people who have been around for a long time just know how to do things that, like, young people just don't because they never had to. Like, one of the games I've worked on is Rainbow Six Siege. And, you know, like, are you familiar with it?
I am familiar, yeah.
Okay, so you know how, like, it has, like, a very definite play area? Mm-hmm. And then there's areas that, like, there's all the, like, kind of the background stuff that's, like, you can see, but you can't even get close to at all. So all of that stuff is made, like, super, super efficiently. And a lot of that, like, the outskirts stuff was made by this one guy who had been making games since, like, the, you know, like, the PS1 era. So he knows all these, like, tricks that were, like, you know, animated planes and, like, you know, like, that are, like, super cheap. And you wouldn't be able to get away with it in the foreground anymore, but that's what foreground used to be. You know what I mean? Like, like, 20 years ago?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, like, you can still use those same tricks in the backgrounds and it looks super nice and it, you know, it's very efficient and gets the job done. So, like, and then, like, the younger people kind of learn these tricks from these, like, you know, older people. And it's like, oh yeah, it's like a new trick, but it's like, no, this is a really old trick.
Been around for decades.
Yeah. But let's go back to talking to TikTok. So my first question is, what do you get out of this that you don't get out of game development?
I guess in this particular time period, it does allow me to, like, exercise my creativity, or, like, you know, I'm not currently in a writing position. And so one thing I get out of it is being able to basically tap into that part of my brain. And, like, it's nice to do. It's like a nice change of pace, right? Where that is, like, my project, and where some people might be doing, like, knitting or, you know, drawing or art of some sort, like, this is my creative outlet. And I think it's also, the other thing I get out of it is I care a lot about industry problems, but I don't want to annoy my my company Slack with it. You know, like, I'm there to work. I'm there to work, and then I will get on my soapbox in this app. And so that's the other thing, is, like, I do have things. I want to make sure the industry is good. I want to be able to laugh at it too. And I don't think I need to bring that energy to my professional workplace day to day. So this is what I get out of it.
I think you do a great job. A lot of your TikToks kind of have these, like, kind of conversational, like, tone to it, where it's like, yeah, no, that is a problem. Like, we see that all the time. Like, why do we let that happen?
Yeah, it's like what you said earlier, where it's laughing and then crying. Whenever someone says that to me, I'm just like, wow, thank you, and I'm sorry. I'm hoping that, like, it does two things. One, it allows people who have, like, experienced those kinds of things some sort of, like, they just know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
Like, this is recognized. Other people have gone through it. It's not you, right? It's a legit problem. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, maybe for, like, the two people that might have it, some self-awareness, them being like, wait, am I the baddie? Like, did I do that?
am I the green shirt dude?
Yeah. Like, did I contribute to this in any way? Maybe I won't going forward.
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of I hope it brings a little bit of awareness too. It seems to, with at least, like, people still in school or, like, hoping to get into game development at some point, where they're like, oh my gosh, is this, like, actually a thing? And I don't want to scare anybody off. Like, that's the other thing too. I get a couple of comments every once in a while being like, wow, I used to want to go into games, and now if this is what it's like, and I'm like, no, I promise it's rad. It's very fun. Like, yes, you should be aware, but, like, it's going to be a problem no matter where you go.
Yeah, right? It's true. I mean, especially tech. I feel like a lot of issues that we have in games are kind of prevalent in all forms of tech.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's get to the next question, which is, what do you think this brings to you as a game developer? How do you think it changes your process or your creative output as a game developer?
Something I have noticed is, since I've been making these, and there has been, especially on Twitter, like, a lot of like you touched upon, like conversation. And so not only like people sharing their own stories, but then also people diving into threads and being like, here's how we addressed it, or like, here's a specific thing, like example of this video that I went through and then how it was resolved. And as I like read those things and I pay like closer attention to other industry problems, or even general just like work issues, I find myself like bringing those into my mindset at work. So if I have to deal with like interpersonal conflict or anything to do with like the office as a whole, anything like that, like thinking about like team dynamics or any sort of problem, it's kind of, I think it's given me a little more insight in terms of like things that are at play, things that people might be dealing with. And so it has been like a gift where, yes, like I'm trying to share stories that people are aware and we can get better. But then I also like it's symbiotic where I'm also learning because I get to hear someone's experiences or I get some insight as to how other people have solved these problems. And then I can actually apply them to my workplace. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that I really get out of it is just trying to like gather as much information as possible so that I can be a better person at work too.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, when you share your story, people definitely feel more comfortable to share theirs, and it kind of gives an opportunity for these conversations. And I think as an industry, we're kind of lacking that. And right now, you know, with lockdown, you know, with COVID and everything, we don't have a lot of opportunities that we did in the past in terms of kind of being able to, you know, meet our peers and talk to each other. So yeah, I think this is really an amazing platform for us to be better managers and be better coworkers.
It is weird because like I didn't anticipate, I don't know.
That would have been really weird if you went into like, yeah, I'm going to make funny TikTok videos because I want to have serious conversations about human resource problems in our industry. Like that, I mean, I'm not saying that it wasn't possible, but I would say that that sounds pretty oblique.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to make some videos because I like this format. And the fact that I'm actually like getting things that I can apply to my day-to-day is pretty cool. Definitely did not anticipate it whatsoever. It has definitely shown me some blind spots where I hadn't considered certain things from, you know, certain perspectives, or like I didn't realize that certain things could happen, or like how would I react in certain situations. It's been eye-opening. It's been great.
Are all the videos kind of based on your personal experience, or are people coming to you and talking to you about stuff which is now kind of getting turned into content, or
95% of my videos are personal experience one way or another. So they might be like a mishmash of two different situations just to make it like one big video. Most of them are mine. Some people have given me stories to use. Yeah. Only people like, so people like DM me often to tell me about their specific story. Basically unless I know them like personally, like I have not used them in a video yet.
Okay.
If I do, like I would ask them permission. I'm pretty sure that's been the case so far. But yeah, there have been a couple that have come from other friends specifically.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll go to the last question, which is, what is something you want people to know about? I guess TikTok or making videos on TikTok?
Let's see. Gosh. What do I want people to know about that? I think it's easier than it seems. Like, if anybody is out there thinking about, if you enjoy TikTok and you're like, I'd like to make a video, just do it. Don't even think about it. Just put something out there. Like, it's very simple. Your first video is not going to do anything. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You just need to get comfortable with it. And, I think it's way less intimidating than a bunch of other like social media platforms out there, at least when it comes to like putting yourself out there, like your face out on the internet. But yeah, I think, and the other thing too is that, like I just mentioned, your first video is not going to do anything. It's very finicky. I think can't really predict what's going to reach an audience or not. And
isn't it crazy? I cannot predict what's going to do well and what doesn't. Like, I've tried to, I'm like, oh, this did pretty well. So I would try to replicate it and nothing.
My only thread right now is the generic work problem, ridiculous work problem stuff. At first I thought it was ridiculous work stories that were original content that didn't follow a trend. Mm-hmm. But then the video I posted yesterday proved me wrong. I used a trend and everyone liked that. And I was just okay, it still has original work problem as the thesis of it, right? Where it's mm-hmm. about a ridiculous thing about work. But I used a meme. I didn't use my own voice. I didn't have my own script. And so I guess it's just that topic, but I don't know. I'll have to experiment some more. It is pretty wild though, seeing the numbers vary so much from video to video.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for today. Thank you very much. This was really a lot of fun, and I'm glad I got to get a chance to talk to you a little bit.
Thank you for inviting me on. This is awesome. I wish I had before this job and the one before it, I was living and traveling in an RV for 2.5 years. And I was just thinking before this, I'm like, dang, that would have been interesting to talk about, but I don't do it anymore.
It's okay. So. We can talk about stuff that you've done in the past. So if you want to come back and talk about living and working in an RV, we can do that too. I'd be happy to.
Maybe someday. but yeah, now I just live in a normal house, so it's a little more boring.
Well, thank you very much, and have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for listening, and thank you to Dave Wallace for providing the music, and thank you to Therese Lance for providing the logo. Bye.